of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good to be with you this morning, Labor Day weekend. Where did it go? The summer go? Anyways, that's not what the sermon's about. That's just a question, really. Where did it go? The gospel story today is about power. It's about power. Now, you might read it, look at it on the surface, and it might not seem that way, but it is. It's about power. And let me give you a little context, because this is part of a conversation that's happening, and it's a really important one in the scripture. Jesus is with his disciples. They're talking. They're in a Gentile town, and Jesus asks them a question. Give me the feedback. Who are people saying I am? Who do people say that I am? And some people say, well, some people think you're Elijah. Some people think you're a great prophet, John the Baptist. Then he says, well, what about you guys? Who do you think that I am? And it's this moment Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're right. Peter, you're right. My heavenly Father revealed this to you, Peter. You're my rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And that's why whenever we see Peter in art, like in our stained glass window up in the front of the church, he's got keys. That's how you know he's Peter. Only one person has the keys. It's always him. Because he was so receptive to the Holy Spirit in leading him to see who Jesus was. Then the conversation continues, and Jesus says, and I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise again. And Peter has a moment where he has to say something. Now, I don't know if you've ever had these moments in your life when somebody you respect and you love, you think they're just out of their mind, and you have to have that moment, like, are you going to tell them? Are you going to tell them? Are you going to say something? That's never happened here in this church, I know. But hypothetically speaking, it could happen in a church, or it could happen in other places. There was one time, my brother's here visiting, this is a story he'll remember, when our dad got a painting done. It was very beautiful, and his heart was in the right place with the best of intentions for the church we grew up in. And he was so happy, and he had us all come look at it when he had it put up. It was a piece of Christian art. And we all looked at it, and we kind of had that face like, that doesn't look anything like what it was supposed to look like. Are you going to tell him? I'm not going to tell him. We knew what was going to happen when we told him, right? It was not going to be a pretty conversation. So we literally for weeks had this, are you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him? I think you should tell him. So we finally convinced the equivalent of the senior warden at that time, the person who was doing Patrick's job. I think you should tell him. You are that's your job, right? We have those moments, right, where we have those conversations. The disciples are having this type of thing here, and Peter's the one that says, I'll go tell him. Because one thing they knew was what the Messiah would do. They might not know who the Messiah was, but they knew what he would do. And the Messiah was going to come with power and liberate and set free and bring about God's abundance and his kingdom on the earth. Now, they all knew that. They grew up knowing that. They would be in synagogue school and they would hear stories about that. And of course they would, because they're people under Roman rule. So they're looking forward to this day. They're longing for this day. Hard for us to put ourselves in that place. You know, being Americans, we kind of always feel we have a sense of controlling our own destiny, but to be a people that is oppressed, especially longing and waiting for God's rule. So they knew the Messiah was going to do this, and they knew he would need power and might to do it, and one thing that they could put together was he couldn't do it if he was dead. You can't bring the kingdom back if you're dead. That's not what the Messiah does. That's a sad way for this story to end. If you are the Messiah, that's not how it ends. So Peter says, I'll go talk to him. And he tells him, Lord, no, God forbid, this will not happen to you. And Jesus says, in pretty harsh correction, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. And what's going on here is that Peter is approaching it probably just the way we would. He's very tactical. He's very strategic. This is not what the Messiah does. Your story about what's going to happen to you is a failure for the Messiah. We don't want you to fail. We want you to succeed. We want you to win. And so Jesus gives Peter this little talk. Peter comes to Jesus, you could say, with the job description for the Messiah. I know what it is. Lord, you're not filling it. Jesus turns it around and gives Peter what it really is and what the job description is for the followers. No, Peter, it's not about power. It's not about might. It's not about all the things you think about a force or victory or conquering or anything like that. It's about sacrifice. It's about love and sacrifice. Jesus' mission as the Messiah isn't one of force or power in the sense of conquering or lording over people or coercion. Jesus comes out of such great love for us that he lays down his life. He gives everything he can give. And Jesus says, this is the Messiah. I'm him, and this is what the Messiah does. The Messiah lays down his life out of love for his sheep. The Messiah gives sacrificially out of love. And if you want to follow the Messiah, that's what you do too. So he gives that to the disciples. It's not about power in the sense of force or might. It's about sacrifice, love, generosity. They weren't thinking of a Messiah like that. But Jesus was trying to explain to them what the Messiah does. And this is interesting. This past week, I was in Casper for our clergy conference. And some of you know, it's been talked about it several times, that we have a companion diocese relationship or a link diocese relationship with dioceses from Episcopal dioceses around the world. So we had one from Leicester, England, and then from Mount Kilimanjaro in our companion diocese of Kiteto. So two from Tanzania, those are two separate ones, and one from southern India. And so all the bishops from these places were gathered, and that's what our clergy conference was. We got to spend time with them. And it was incredible to think about how power works as you were talking to these leaders. Because, of course, the English, and of course our bishop here in Wyoming, are talking about the problems that we have in the Western world, and people are busy and all those things that we know, and you know, it's just not the way it was. But we have a lot of means, we have a lot of resources to deal with those things. And when you talk about the people in Tanzania, and they were talking about how their biggest problem is they can't build churches fast enough. That's their biggest problem. They don't have enough money. They built 187 new churches in 5 years. And they're behind with the demand. They can't build them fast enough. So it's interesting to think, and we would think, wow, in this area we have people who are lacking things that we take for granted, right? Clean water, running water, flushing toilets, refrigerators. I mean, just you can make a list of 100 things. And we would think, but God's power is being so visibly shown in those areas because the little they have, they're willing to give. They're willing to sacrifice the little they have. And then here, where we have so much, we're wrestling with different questions. You would think we would be the ones with power, but it was clear in the room who were the people that were just filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It was an interesting idea about this thing that Jesus talks about. Power, as we understand it and visualize it, is usually a very worldly idea of power. And Jesus is giving us a different one of love and sacrifice and generosity. So I would encourage you, walking away from this gospel this morning, to think about your idea of power. Where does it come from? What do you think of when you think of power? Does it involve anything like what Jesus is talking about? And if it doesn't, you're not alone. You're right there with Peter, right? We all come to Jesus with our own conceptions of who he should be and all that. But the question is, are we willing to be redirected? Are we willing to let Jesus redefine what power is for us. Are we willing to look at power not so much in might and wealth and force and influence and control? Are we willing to let it be sacrifice and love and generosity, mercy, those types of things? So I would encourage you to think about power. Where do we get our idea of power from? And are we willing to let Jesus give us a new one? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.